Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
Chris and Joe Show, presented to you by SB Nation and Big Blue View. I'm Joe DeLeon, joined by Chris Flum. And today we're discussing and giving you our quick takes immediately after the Giants' loss to the Buffalo Bills. Two straight losses for the Giants to start off their season in the second week of the year, and also their first home game. They fell to the Buffalo Bills 28-14. So not really the start that you want to see for this Giants team, and they struggled in a bunch of different ways that eventually led to this outcome. But Chris, we're going to, you know, might as well take it right into the first one. And it's this a very similar point that we had last week, which is a lack of third down efficiency. 3-for-12 on third down, just a huge struggle for them, not being able to convert things. Number of three and outs as well. And you really can't be productive as an offense if you're not moving the ball on third down.
No, and like you said, that was something we talked about last week. You need to be able to keep drives alive, sustain them, make something happen on the money down. And so far this year, the Giants just have not done that. I don't think they've cracked double-digit third down conversions yet. In fact, I don't think they're even close.
Yeah, there's a pretty huge discrepancy, too, and a huge difference in the amount of third down attempts that they're taking and the amount that they're actually able to complete. So if you're even not able to convert on third down, you would think that they would at least try to be more efficient on first and second down, but it seems like they were in a lot of third and long situations as well. So Chris, what was the first take that you got from this game?
The first one is that the Giants need more than just Saquon Barkley. The first game we saw Evan Ingram had himself a huge day, but this game, he just seemed to disappear for a pretty big stretch. You know, at some point, I actually sent Ed Valentine a message asking if Ingram got hurt, and I had just missed it somehow.
Yeah, I completely see where you're coming from that point. It did really seem like Evan Ingram wasn't there. The Bills effectively neutralized him. There weren't really any opportunities to really get him in space and find him those plays. He did have a couple catches toward the end of the game, but up until those opportunities at the very end of the game, I think he had under 10 yards receiving. So not what you want to see from an offensive weapon that was very, very productive in week one. And it didn't really help that Cody Latimer might have potentially gone down with a concussion, and Sterling Shepard was not available to play, especially also no Golden Tate. So these opportunities and weapons for Eli Manning are just continuing to diminish.
Yeah, if there was one good thing we saw in the passing game, it was that TJ Jones does have a role on the field. He is a player. You know, the Giants re-signed him during the week. He didn't really get a look until just before the first half was over. Then he had a really nice 60-yard punt return. And then he finally got some looks as a receiver in the second half. And he seems to play at a different speed than a lot of the other receivers the Giants had available today.
I would say one of the positive takeaways from this game, and I was thinking about this, but I didn't initially include it in my final set of takes, but I think it's worth pointing out that I think that TJ Jones really proved that he deserves to stay on this roster and stick around, especially with the amount of issues there have been at the receiver position, but looked incredible as a kick returner and a punt returner, so they can use him as that weapon with no Corey Coleman because of his ACL injury. But it's nice to also see him catch a touchdown too. If you need him to go out there, if you need some fresh legs here or there, TJ Jones can make those catches. He can make those plays. Maybe not be a dependable long-term guy, but a very good depth piece for this Giants team.
Yeah, if he winds up being your second, third receiver, that's not a bad option to have. He can play in the slot. He can play out wide. So they don't have to take him off the field or treat him like a redundant part when Shepard and Golden Tate come back. they can keep him in the offense and find ways, find places to use him. If you're looking for a bright side, there's one.
I think another bright side that might have come out of this game, it's not super positive, but the Giants were able to have a relatively more effective day of feeding Saquon the ball. He had 107 yards rushing. They were willing to give him the ball 18 times. Not as many carries as you and I would really hope for, and didn't really get a lot of looks in the passing game, but still they were a little bit more effective and able to lean on him despite the Buffalo Bills being very persistent in loading the box. There were very few opportunities for Saquon Barkley to run against a seven-man box or less. So he was able to get some pretty big pickups, some pretty good yards in those situations, which continues to prove that this team can be very, very effective in running the ball. Even if it's only those 4 or 5 yard gains that you're getting, they can be effective if needed.
Yeah, and to me that also kind of feeds back into my first point where the Giants do need more than just Saquon. He is effective. He is really good, and teams can only just hope to slow him down, not stop him. But if they're loaded, if defenses are loading the box to slow him down, the Giants offense needs to be able to make them pay for that. And hopefully that's someplace where, you know, Shepard comes back. They can use that. They can get Ingram some more looks in better situations. Hopefully TJ Jones will be able to help with that. So if that's a way, another way that Saquon can help the offense, that's something they should be taking advantage of.
Yeah, it's really going to be a case of them trying to get back all of their weapons, because right now other teams loading the box does present an opportunity to profit off of play action plays or catching them off guard by throwing more to the outside and stretching the field if they do decide to load the box against them. But there aren't really those opportunities because there isn't much talent at the receiver position. So just overall what we've been saying is that a lot more needs to be done besides Saquon Barkley making these big runs. You can only do so much with Saquon carrying most of the load.
Exactly. Although you mentioned the Giants stretching the field and throwing downfield more. That is one thing I noticed, and I'm actually surprised they're up already, but the numbers at the NFL Next Gen Stats show that the Giants did actually look downfield a lot more than they have recently. Eli Manning threw for 8.5 intended air yards. His completed air yards was 6.4, which are both well above what he had normally done for the last year. And he actually threw beyond the sticks on average. He actually threw on average a tenth of a yard past the first down marker, which compared to the 2 yards behind we saw last week is a big improvement. It's a positive sign. They're not there yet. Hopefully they'll at least keep that aggressiveness up.
Yeah, an improvement nonetheless, but again, like you said, hopefully they continue trending towards being more and more aggressive in stretching the field more, because they can realistically do it if they need to. So before we get to the final few takes, we're going to take a very brief commercial break.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again, and I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
So the last few things that we're going to talk about, and the first one is something that I'm sure a lot of people noticed, was that DeAndre Baker struggled at times today. Understandably, he is a rookie corner in his second game, but did not play against any game-breaking receivers besides Cole Beasley, John Brown, and whoever else was the supporting cast in that receiving core for the Bills. But I really noticed, without having the need to go back and look at any plays, I really noticed a lot of missed assignments from him, a lot of instances where he turned his back to receivers that probably were in his zone that he should have been making a play on and giving up a first down or potentially longer, and then also some missed tackles here and there. Just not a really a positive performance from Baker.
The defense as a whole didn't have a great day again. There were some bright spots, which I think we'll get to in our final takeaway. But all in all, they need these young guys, all of these parts they have put together this past offseason to come together, and they need them to come together really sooner rather than later. Even if we're writing this season off, which is a thing we really do not want to do in week two, but even just looking down the field, they need these guys to come together and form a core of talent for the next five seasons. The good news is that cornerback does have a very, very sharp learning curve. Baker struggling isn't exactly a terrible sign just yet. It's almost expected that young corners are going to come in and struggle. It's exceptionally rare that you have somebody like Denzel Ward last year or Jalen Ramsey a couple years ago come in and just light the league up as a cornerback. Struggles happen. I think we should probably start to get a little bit more concerned if he gets a few games under his belt and these problems are still problems.
I think one thing that it is important to acknowledge, and you said that there is a huge learning curve for the corner position because it's not an easy position to play in the NFL, arguably one of the hardest in the sport. I've noticed, though, that it's very obvious the talent is 100% there. DeAndre Baker is talented enough to be a good corner in this league. It just seems like his mistakes are really just because he might not know where he needs to be at the right time, and it might be a lack of communication or just a lack of understanding at an elite level for the playbook. So he just needs to keep learning. He needs to keep developing. He needs to keep finding ways to correct the mistakes, because ultimately he's going to struggle at times during this year. It's just a matter of how he improves and how he takes that next step.
Yeah, exactly. These things are just almost to be expected with rookie players. And hopefully he doesn't let the mistakes snowball and really just hurt his confidence going forwards. He's a confident player. He needs to be able to keep that to play corner in the NFL.
Definitely need a good level of confidence to play corner, and we see that from some of the top level guys. So Chris, what was your final point? And this is definitely worth acknowledging.
The Giants had a pass rush. We saw one sack in the first half. I think there was another one that happened, but the Giants accepted a penalty instead, so they didn't go down in the stat book as happening. And then they had more snaps in the second half. They were getting pressure on Josh Allen, forcing him to scramble, get out of the pocket. The team wasn't capitalizing on the pressure, but at least it was there, and that is a big improvement over week one when they had one quarterback pressure the whole game.
Certainly an improvement, to say the least. It was really good, though, to see that they were able to dial up some situations where Josh Allen had to get away from his original spot. You don't want to see what happened in week one again in week two. And it started off to look like that. It started to look exactly like what we saw in week one against the Dallas Cowboys, where there wasn't really any pressure being created, especially on a play on the 1 yard line where Josh Allen had at least 5 seconds to find a receiver and then move the ball to the 20 yard line. And I think he threw it to Cole Beasley in that situation. But still, they were able to create those opportunities. And one of the instances was a blitz that led Jabril Peppers into the backfield to cause Josh Allen to not really know what he could do. And then it resulted in a sack. So if they can keep building off of that and do those types of things that they did in the second half, their defense could potentially be a lot better than it was in the first three halves of play that we saw so far this year.
Definitely. And players like Lorenzo Carter being able to win off the edge, blitzes getting home, causing confusion, forcing quarterbacks off the spot, that is going to help, and that is going to help the secondary a lot too. You know, the Giants still need the guys in the defensive secondary to come through and capitalize on those pressures and the mistakes they absolutely will cause. But this is at least a start.
Certainly a start for them to continue to build off on. But this defense overall is very, very young. It's going to take some time for them to figure out their issues, specifically DeAndre Baker, specifically some of these other young pieces that have not been able to get onto the field. So it's just a matter of developing, growing, working out those issues. And maybe towards the end of the season, we'll see some more consistency on every single down. That's going to be it for us. Thank you for tuning in as always. But make sure you rate, subscribe to wherever you're listening to us. You can find us anywhere you can find any podcast. But also make sure you follow us on social media at Big Blue View on Twitter and at @big_blue_view. That is going to be it from us, folks.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.